Hello, and welcome to Mr. Marr's History Podcast. Google Mr. Marr History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History.
In today's episode, we're going to be discussing the impact of emigrant Scots in India. Scots did not travel to India in the same large numbers as they did elsewhere in Britain's empire, but they still had a notable impact in the country. Scots were attracted to India mainly due to business opportunities, trading products that would be sold around the world. However, others who went did so to be part of India's government or were members of Britain's military. We'll begin by discussing the impact the Scots had on India's economy and enterprise. The Scots had a significant impact on the economic development of India. Some moved there for work, but more became traders buying and selling Indian produce. One British trading company became so large that it eventually took over India's government, and Scots were very prominent in this. Some professional Scots were attracted to move to India to provide their services to British governors and businessmen. This included Scottish teachers, doctors, lawyers, and members of the clergy, as well as civil servants as well. The Scots built links with India over a number of years through trade. Many Scots travelled to India to buy products including teak and jute, and they were then sent back to Europe to be sold. These companies gradually increased their size and influence. Eventually, this led to the creation of a business that became hugely powerful in India, the East India Company. This company started to support trade between India and Britain, but it soon grew so powerful that it ruled India. The East India Company was dominated by Scots. Henry Dundas led the company in the late 1700s, and other Scottish involvement included Scots making up 1 in 9 civil servants and 1 in 11 soldiers in the company's private army. The East India Company eventually lost control of India after the India Mutiny of 1857. This violent event saw the British government replace them to take over the running of India, and this period of control was known as the British Raj. Scottish trade with India included tea, which created jobs in India to grow the produce. Thomas Lipton, a Glasgow businessman, set up a tea company, selling his product throughout Europe and also the United States from 1890 onwards. Scottish banks played a major role in developing the Indian economy too. Financial companies based in Scotland loaned huge amounts of money to allow investment in India, including in railway development and also farming. Scottish trade with India created huge profits for companies in Scotland. Almost all train engines in India were made in Glasgow, and jute mills in Dundee, such as Cox's and Baxter's, were the biggest in the world, using jute grown in India. The Scots who went to India also had a substantial impact on the country's culture and religion. Although smaller numbers of Scots had gone to India compared to places like Canada and Australia, they still had a profound impact on politics, religion, education, and other issues. Undeniably, a major Scottish and British influence in India concerned politics. Scots had helped run the East India Company, and after this was replaced by the British government, Scots continued to hold senior roles in the governance of the country. The first three Governor-Generals, also known as Viceroy, of India were all Scottish. This was the head of Britain's government in India. A prominent Scottish example of Indian Governor-General is Lord Dalhousie. Many Scots were part of the Indian Civil Service, overseeing the running of transport and legal systems, and wealthy Scottish families would send their well-educated sons to work in India, hoping that they would soon gain promotion, either in the government or as part of the military. Under British governance, there were many changes made to India's infrastructure. This meant the building of railway lines and telegraph poles, and all of this allowed more travel with India, which encouraged more trade. There were other Scottish influences too. Many Scots served as judges in the Indian justice system, and Alexander Kidd designed Calcutta's botanical gardens, whilst some Scottish engineers designed and built infrastructure in India. Scottish missionaries set up churches across the country. This was to try and convert local people, but also to allow Scottish emigrants to continue to practice their faith. Examples of this include Presbyterian churches in Sora and Sarampuri. In 1850, there were 400 British missionaries, including Scots, to be found in India, and they represented 25 churches. Many of them tried to target members of India's elite to become Christian in the hope that poorer Indians would then follow their example. Other Scots, often linked to churches, helped set up educational establishments in India. Schools, including the Scottish Bombay School, were set up to teach the children of emigrants, although they later accepted Indians too. David Hare, who was a Scottish clockmaker, moved to India and founded the Hare School, and a society for women's education. Many Scottish emigrants took steps to educate India's women, including Hannah Catherine Mullins, who had travelled to the country. Other Scots developed higher education institutions such as universities. The University of Calcutta was set up after agreement from the Governor-General of India, a Scot named Lord Dalhousie. And some Scots set up groups to keep links with home, although this was not on the same scale as places like Canada. India did, though, have some Burns clubs that people would meet to read poetry and celebrate Burns nights, whilst other emigrants played Scottish sports like shinty. Scots even named some places in India after Scottish locations, but on a much smaller scale than in other emigrant destinations. Port Blair and Dalhousie in India are examples of locations which took their name from Scottish emigrants. The Scots who travelled to India had an impact on native societies, even though they made up only a tiny proportion of all people living in India. Although there are examples of positive links, there was also instances of very poor relations, including numerous examples of violence. British settlers, including Scots, traded with Indians and helped make some tribal leaders rich as a result. This obviously led to Scots' presence in India being supported by those leaders and brought some benefits to other Indians. Some other Scots integrated into Indian society. There were instances of marriages between Indians and the travelling Scots, and at the start of the 1800s, around one-third of all British men in India were married to an Indian woman. Many Scots who went to India did so as part of the military. Scots travelled as part of British Army regiments, including the Sutherland Highlanders, and their job was to provide protection for British traders and also control the local population. A great many Indians greatly resented Scottish and British presence in their country. British actions in setting up a government in India, taking control of the country, led to anger from Indian nationalists who wanted independence. The most prominent example of resistance to British rule was the Indian Mutiny of 1857. Indian soldiers who worked for the British East India Company in the town of Meerut started a major rebellion which soon spread across India. At least 100,000 people died as a result of the fighting, and Scottish Army regiments played a major role in ending the revolt, led by men such as General Colin Campbell. It's also worth noting that some Indians fought for the British during the mutiny. Some British decisions in India received a mixed response from Indians. The British outlawed some traditional practices, including slavery and fuggy. The latter was an action in which armed gangs attacked people and committed ritual murder. Britain also banned suttee, where a wife would be burned alive after the death of her husband. Some Indians did not want these practices to end, and so they were angered by British actions. However, many other Indians welcomed these changes, which significantly improved their lives. Some British actions in India also improved the status of Indian women. This not only included the outlawing of suttee, but it also let women get an education, as well as banning the practice of child marriage, meaning that girls now had to be at least 14 or older before they could get married. However, other British actions were not especially beneficial to Indian women. For instance, the British Army set up chaklas, which were brothels to only be used by British soldiers. Many women who worked in these places did so because they came from poor backgrounds and had little other choice. Many Scots, such as Alexander Duff, who went to India, did so as missionaries to spread the Christian message. They established churches across the country and converted many Indians, suggesting elements of a positive relationship. Many missionaries also helped develop education in India, again improving relations with native people. However, other Indians who were from different faiths, including Muslims and Hindus, were offended at these attempts to change their beliefs.